And we've got Shirley Winton from No AUKUS Coalition Victoria on the line. G'day, Shirley. How are you?
Good morning, Annie. Yes, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. The 78th anniversary of the US dropping of nuclear bombs in Australia is cozying up to the US. It's all rather frightening.
It certainly is. It's, particularly, I think, this year and over the last few years, but this year, after the Osmond, the Australia-US ministerial talks, which has incredibly accelerated the militarisation, US militarisation of Australia and the Pacific, it is Hiroshima and Nagasaki a sobering reminder that we must stop the march to war, that it's in the hands of the people now. And the potential for nuclear war is growing. You know, we're talking about now Australia being visited by not just nuclear powered submarines, but also warships potentially carrying nuclear weapons, the B-52 bombers, the US 52 bombers, which I think there's 6 or 8 of them that are going to be based in Northern Territory outside Darwin. Also potentially carrying nuclear weapons. And this is at a time when our foreign minister, Penny Wong, has said that she respects the US policy of neither confirming nor denying whether their warships, and planes are carrying nuclear weapons. In so-called sovereign countries. So I think it is really timely to mobilise against AUKUS and against nuclear submarines and to demand the Australian government to defend our sovereignty.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because they made the announcement, it was a Morrison announcement about AUKUS. It's the Albanese government's completely in lockstep. People went to the election, I'm sure, with a hope that this would actually not happen. Now we're getting further announcements that deals are being made to use Perth as a parking spot for American nuclear subs and UK subs as early as 2027, very, very soon, in fact.
Yeah, well, that's right, and that's where it's been a surprise to many people, a big surprise, that a Labor government would follow the sycophantic Liberal government, previous government. So subservient to the US, that the Labor government would show a little bit more of a backbone in standing up for the US, in showing a bit of sovereignty. This has really nothing to do with defence of, security of Australia's people. The $368 billion spent on nuclear stuff. And I must remind people that that's $368 billion. That's going to blow out extraordinarily. It'll be over $500 billion that we will be basically spending on making Australia we're already making Australia a US military base and a launching pad for US war. It's locking Australia into a war between basically US and China. And it is, as I said, there's a lot of people who are, really quite shocked that a Labor government would go all the way with the USA, as we had during the Vietnam War. We had all the way with LBJ. So now we've got to revive the slogan of all the way with USA. And the Labor government is so tied into US military in enforcing and upholding what's called the US rules based order, the US global rules based order, which has nothing to do with promoting peace. It's all about maintaining US supremacy around the world and in our region. The role of Australia is now becoming a well, still is, but even more so as a deputy sheriff, imposing and enforcing that US rules-based order. So it is, you know, there are a lot of people that are obviously very surprised by it. But, you know, the other side of it is that it has unleashed a real outcry. So there's more and more AAP rank-and-file members. There's people right in the community, in unions, passing motions, coming out and condemning orcas and nuclear submarines, which are going to tie us into the US foreign policy. So, look, I should say the other thing that this is all exposes is the level and the extent of the of US embedded in Australia politically and ideologically, economically and militarily. So over the years people have said Australia is a 51st state of the US. Well, certainly it's now becoming one now.
Yeah, it's really, really quite disturbing that there is so little public access to this decision making. I mean, people are, like you say, Australia is being forcibly locked down to generations of kowtowing to the Americans who, I mean, really, the track record isn't very good with for the American decision making when it goes into wars. It's really about large business creating the environment for perpetual war, which is a very science fiction storyline, isn't it? Perpetual war.
Well, that's right. And who are the beneficiaries? Of the enormous militarization of wars, it's the weapons manufacturers like never before, and I think one of these stark examples is the militarization of education in Australia, where you've got Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Holyburn, BAE, who are now embedded in Australian universities. Australian universities are now dependent on the funding from the multinational weapons corporation. So the research that there's no independent research. There's the indoctrination into our education system. It's so extensive, but it extends beyond the universities. Now this multinational weapons corporations, and most of them are, US and British, they're now jointly with the support of the education departments around the country, are running programs that are initiated by the weapons corporations, and they're doing it under the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and now we're saying the M is standing for military. So that, for instance, in primary and secondary schools now, there's a program under STEM where students are being asked to design nuclear-propelled submarines, and it's designed in a form of competition and prizes.
Yeah, normalization.
It's the propaganda, and as you said earlier, what is really shocking is the role of the media. You don't hear the voices in mainstream media. Not even like a whisper of questioning the AUKUS, the deep implications about our sovereignty, the deep implications about war. You don't hear any whispers in the mainstream media. So it is turning Australia into a 51st state, and there's no questioning. But the interesting thing is that there was a poll by Deloitte Institute a few months ago, which asked the question was whether people would support Australia allying itself with China or with Russia in the event of war, or to remain neutral. The majority, over 50%, I think there were about 54%, have said that they want Australia to remain neutral if there is a war. And 70%, at least 70%, of women said they want Australia to remain neutral. And the majority of young people who were polled also said they want Australia to remain neutral. And then when you sort of think about the massive propaganda, you know, the carpet bombing that's going on now in our media and everywhere, that you have that response, I think it's really hopeful. And in the sense that, you know, there's a sense that people don't want to go into another war with the US.
Well, you know, anybody with half a brain would know that the generational trauma of a war is just so extreme for ordinary people, and workers are the ones who go and die. None of the people in their plush seats. But you've recently been communicating with people from New Zealand and getting a perspective from outside Australia of what people are thinking about Australia's move towards nuclear nirvana.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting. We were invited, a couple of us from IPAN were invited to speak at a webinar that was being run last Sunday by peace activists in New Zealand. The purpose of the webinar was to exchange, knowledge about the peace movement, the anti-war, the anti-imperialist movement in both countries. And, you know, we gave quite long talks. I think between the two of us, there was 45 minutes that we described the situation in Australia. And they were really shocked. The New Zealand activists were really shocked at the level of the penetration of the US. And what shocked them even more was that there was so little resistance to it. They have a history, you know, that they kept asking us and saying, well, what about you know, ad cuts? And we said, well, they are there. People are really angry, but it's all been muzzled. The intensity of the propaganda is so huge that it's hard to get the voices out, the people's voices out. And that was one of the reasons why IPAN, in Independent Peaceful Australia Network, we did a people's inquiry into the US-Australia line. And that was important, and we should need to continue finding ways to give platform to people's voices, and that's why 3CR is important. Going back to New Zealand, though, they have, interestingly, a strong sense of that sovereignty about their country, and it probably goes back 50 years ago when they banned nuclear ships visiting New Zealand, and also they campaigned really hard. It was an intense campaign for nuclear-free New Zealand, and they won. And through that campaign, the consciousness about independence and sovereignty and about the people of New Zealand making the decision about, you know, what New Zealand's foreign policy should be and whether they should be new, and whether they should have nuclear submarines and nuclear weapons in any way based in their country. But New Zealand is part of the Five Eyes. That's the only part of the foreign policy that's tied to the US and tied to what they call imperialism. But I think even more significant in New Zealand is the Maori Party. And the Maori Party is quite vocal. And they said, you know, they've got elections coming up in October. And the Maori Party has come up with a very strong policy opposing Maori New Zealand or Aotearoa to be part of any war alliance, to be part of the American war alliance. And they've said in some of the literature, they've said, or they've come out the co-leader, Debbie Nagara Packer, said, this, I'm quoting her here, we will no longer be a political football in the wars of imperial powers. We will no longer act as a Pacific spy base for Five Eyes. We have determined a Maori-centric foreign policy and a Maori-centric defence policy shaped for us and by us without selling or trading our mama, but just simply asserting it. So, and then she goes on and says, the time for war, killing and imperialism is over. So, and Maoris make a significant chunk of the New Zealand military as well. So the Maori Party has said that it's likely that the result of the elections is going to be a coalition. They said that they will support the coalition or whichever party wins, only if that party accepts their policy on independence and sovereignty, and that they would not be part of the US or any foreign power military agenda. And also, they're opposed to Five Eyes. And as you know, the Five Eyes Alliance, that's a very significant instrument used by the US.
Yeah, yeah. It fuses Australian foreign policy, in inverted commas, with the American agenda. We're just an adjunct of their foreign policy.
Oh, that's right. And I think that the developments in Maori in New Zealand, Aotearoa, are very significant. And the Maori Party has a very strong following, apparently. And that's for us to watch and to learn.
The thing about it is Australia's actions in this area, I didn't mean foreign policy, I mean defence policy. It effectively has an effect on the foreign policy, and our role in the Pacific is offset by this kowtowing to the Americans' war machine.
Yeah, it sort of makes me think that it's actually implementing the US defence foreign policies in Asia Pacific. Australia has now clearly decided that it's tying itself into the US rules-based global order, you know? And it's simple. Is there any difference in the Australian foreign policy to America's foreign policy or defence? There's none. None whatsoever now. Julian Assange is just one, stark example.
Yeah, he's the canary in the mine, if you ask me.
Yeah. That's really well put. That's really well put on it. Mm. And our defence is so military, it's so integrated and enmeshed in the US defence and foreign policies.
And dressed up as defending Australia, that it's about defending Australia, but of course it's not. None of these missiles or any of these things are actually around defending a country. They're about attacking. But we'll all have to be there tomorrow, won't we?
Well, yeah, that's right. But I have just the one thing that I do want to add, I know we're running out of time, is that... there are talks about developing a nuclear-free and peaceful Asia-Pacific. So we are having discussions with New Zealand, with people in South Korea, people in Guam, in Japan, Okinawa. So I think that's a really positive movement that will develop. As far as tomorrow, it's really important to launch off, response. This is a people's response to the deep integration of Australia into wars and military. And so our speakers are going to be Margie Beavers. People know Margie, she's from Medical Association for Prevention of War. David Ball, who's our Deputy Assistant Secretary of the MUA. Jack Howell from Labor Against War, and I think that real significant events, as people know, are happening in the Labor Party. I think there's about...
You have to get a wriggle on. We've got minutes to go.
Okay. Janet Rice, Xavier Dupay, who's the National Union of Students and the South Korean Trade Unionist and Peace Activist. And it's at 1 o'clock, and please come, bring your friends.
State Library.
Refresh Band will be there, and so will the Peace, and we will be marching.
Thanks very much, Shirley.
Thank you, Annie.